Hello, I'm Dr. Jesse L. Grice, founder and senior pastor of Trueline Baptist Church. It's my heart as we welcome you. I welcome you, and I praise God that you will get something from it and bless your life. In Jesus' name, we love you.
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you to our men. Thank you to our praise band. Thank you, Lord, all that you have done for us today. Despite the events of this week, we do serve a God who reigns, yes, who looks over all things, and who still holds the world in his hand. We can be grateful to God for that. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, our Father and Lord, you have made this day, you have made us. You've allowed us to gather before you today. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you for your goodness and mercies. We want to say thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, it could have been us. It could have been us whose time had come where we see this side no more. But Lord, you were merciful, you were kind, you were gracious. And Lord, we say thank you. So Lord, bless us during this time that as we open your word and learn of its truths, Lord, penetrate our hearts with it, encourage the downtrodden, build us up and help us to stand and proclaim your marvelous gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. This morning, our scripture will come from the book of Revelations. Book of Revelations. If you've been joining us since January, on our Tuesday night corporate Bible study, we have been studying Revelations. And each night we have been going through the chapters and verses and unpacking what the Lord is saying to the church today as what he said to John and to the early church back then. And so as you stand, would you turn your Bibles to Revelations chapter. Sorry, I lost my thought here, but chapter 7, Revelations chapter 7. And so, let us begin. And so it's in Revelations chapter 7, starting at verse 9 through 16, reading verse 9 through 16. And it reads this way. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell to their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor the heat. Verse 17, I'll read that. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. If you would, for a moment, I'd like to tag this text after these things. After these things. You may take your seat. After these things are the three words in Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. It is after these things that another series of events occur in which a great multitude is recognized in the throne room of God. A great multitude in which John and an angel engages in a sidebar conversation as praise and worship is occurring there before the Lord. It's after these things that there's a description of what these multitude are wearing and why these multitude, these individuals are there. It's after these things. It's important to know what occurred before we get to the phrase after these things. And what we should understand about the events that transpire after these things, these three words in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, are the events that occurred in the chapters prior to it. You say, what happened prior to this point in time in Scripture? Well, prior to this point in time, prior to chapter 7, there was chapter 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 in Revelation. And in chapter 1 of Revelation, John makes an introduction, and he's saying that he is writing and recording those things that Jesus Christ had revealed to him. And through the other chapters, chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, John is showing a couple things that God is revealing to him. First, this first part is he gives commendation and criticisms to the church at hand. There are the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, in which Christ is telling John there are some good things that these churches are doing, but there are some things that need to be corrected. In this first part, chapters 2, 3, and 4, there is correction and shaking up that is occurring in these words from John to these churches from Christ. And then after the messages to the church, John is transitioned in chapter 4 to the throne room of heaven. And in the throne room of heaven, another set of events begin to unfold that John still has the mandate to record, to observe, and to communicate. And in those events in the throne room, he sees that there is the Lamb. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, is there, and he has in his hand a scroll. And the scroll has on it several seals, seven seals, in fact. And the significance of these seals that are being opened on this scroll really is the foretelling of future events that will transpire on the earth. This foretelling of future events that will transpire on the earth occurs in a sequential order. After the first seal is opened, things occur on the earth. After the second seal is open, things occur on the earth. After the third seal is open, things occur on the earth. After the fourth seal is open, things occur on the earth. The fifth seal is open, things occur on the earth. And it's in the sixth seal is where we find chapter 7, verse 9. Because in the sixth seal, all the things that have occurred on the earth represented sorrow, represented dismay, represented tragedies. And it's after these things that John sees something different that occurs. So as I think about Monica Lee Elrod and Layla Salazar, Miranda Mathis, Neve Bravo, Jose Manuel Flores Jr., Xavier Lopez, Les Marie Mata, Rogelio Torres, Eliana Eli Amaya Garcia, Eliana A. Torres, Annabelle Guadalupe Rodriguez, Jackie Carrazes, Uzziah Garcia, J.C. Carmelo Luviano, and Mate Yelena Garcia, Jelania Nicole Sergalios, Irma Garcia, Eva Morales, Amarie Jo Garza, Alexia Anaya Rubio, and Aletha Ramirez. When I think about these, I know that the scripture says that there will be these tragedies, these events that shake up the church and cause disruption on the earth. And so it is after these things. It is after the opening of these six seals where all these tragedies unfold on the earth. Something happens. And what we should understand, church family, is that the tragedies and the events that occur on the earth, one, they will be commonplace. However, they do not represent the end for the believer. Although tragedies and dismay and sorrow will be commonplace, they in no shape, form, or fashion represent the end. Because if you are saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, God will protect and keep you even in the midst of tragedies. It's after these things. And so I'm reminded of that psalmist, that gospel psalmist, Bishop Walter Hawkins, that late gospel songwriter, singer, and pastor, had a song in his 1990 Love Alive Series 4 classic. And that song was titled, Thank You. Thank You. And it's hard to understand a song titled, Thank You, when the verses of that song simply convey disaster and dismay. He says in verse 1 of that song that tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases, people slipping away. Economy's down, people can't get enough pay. As for me, I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Verse 2, he says, folks without homes, out living in the streets. And the drug habits, some say, they just can't beat. muggers and robbers, no place seems to be safe. No school seems to be safe. No grocery store seems to be safe. No church seems to be safe. But you've been my protection every step of the way. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And so there in chapter 7, John is on the island of Patmos serving out a sentence for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we find John in his observation that is being made, the things that he's hearing, the things that he is writing. These things are prophetic and these things are apocalyptic. By a prophetic, we simply mean that they are the words of Jesus Christ to John that he will send to the churches. By apocalyptic, we simply mean that they are describing end time events. By apocalyptic, they mean that those things that we see here in Scripture are those things that will transpire here on earth. Let me just help you with the timeline. This is around 90 AD. And John is receiving this vision from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is writing, and it goes specifically to readers in that time. They had no idea what 2022 would look like. But isn't it so interesting that the words of Scripture look like they are playing out in our lives today? Isn't that so interesting? And so overall in John's writing in the book of Revelations, we see three big things. It's about the coming of Christ. It's about his return. And in his return, what happens is that the church is gathered together. The second thing that happens is that judgment occurs on the heathen. The heathen is simply those that have rejected Christ Jesus. They have rejected salvation. After time and time of tragic event, they continue to reject the Lord. After time and time of dismay and disaster, they continue to reject the Lord. They didn't come to church. They didn't take up prayer. They didn't hear the gospel message after time and time of events. And then the last thing that happens is that there's judgment on Satan and the demons in Revelations. And so the first thing that I will have you know, church family, is that trials and tribulations do not determine the end of the believer. But the trials and tribulations that we do in experience or that we incur are meant for a reason, and that is to draw us closer to God, draw us closer to Jesus Christ. Let me walk you through it real quickly, that in the opening of the first seal, it's important to know what is happening on the earth to make sense of the events that we are living through today. Chapter 6, the opening of the first seal meant that there would be a conqueror. A conqueror would come. And that conqueror that would come would be in a level of authority. Verse 6 says, now I saw when the Lamb opened, chapter 6, verse 1, when the Lamb opened one seal, one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures sing with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked and behold a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. What that simply means is that on this horse, in that time, the original riders would have known that the person on that horse was authority. a governmental authority. And when this governmental authority got on that horse with their bows, the intent and effort and plan of that authority was to conquer. When I look at the events of today and I hear the news talk about Russia going into Ukraine, a governmental authority going into another governmental authority, causing conflict, and not just with that situation, but with other worldwide situations that occur where government leaders and powers are seeming to practice this effort to take over. It's simply part of the plan and the seal. The second thing that you see in chapter 6, verse 3, is the opening of the second seal, where there is conflict now on earth. There's conflict on earth, and with the conflict on earth, people were conflicting with each other. The conflicts on earth look today like all of the political disagreements and strife that occurs, where there is conversations, not just conversations, but arguments and conflict over red and blue, Democrat and Republican, and all these other political differences and views that really cause discord. Guess what? In scripture it said that there was this conflict because the second seal was open. In the next verses, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, we see that there is scarcity on the earth. Scarcity on the earth. It reads this way: when he opened the third seal, I heard a third living creature saying, "Come and seize." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine." What that simply means, church family, in this apocalyptic literature, what it simply means is that commerce was suffering as a result of the third seal that is being opened. The people on the earth didn't have enough. And therefore, things got really high that didn't used to be as high. Filling up my truck this week, I used to pay $50. And now when I saw it ticking up to 85, 86, 87. Scarcity on the earth. When we find out that we can't get baby formula from Walmart, baby formula has to come in from Australia. There is scarcity on the earth. These are the things that begin to transpire. When I used to pay $2 for milk, and now milk is $5. There is scarcity on the earth, where our money don't go as far as it used to go, and we couldn't do the things that we used to do. These are all a part of judgment of God. I'm getting there, and then the fourth seal. And in the fourth seal, verses 7 through 8, you see that there is widespread death. Widespread death on the earth. We've just gone through a pandemic. Over a million people died. In fact, they no longer call it a pandemic. It's called an endemic, meaning it won't go anywhere. That we will continue to have this virus with us. And so as a result of that, there will continue to be widespread death. But not only because of COVID-19, widespread death from events that, just like those in Uvalde this week, or in Buffalo last week, or in California, or in other places. Church, the point is to understand that Jesus is coming back.
and if you are going to be ready and prepared for his return, you have to understand that after these things, after the tragedies and after the dismay and after the loss and after the economic situations, that something different happens. And it is there in chapter 7, verse 9, that something different happens after these things. So John observes all these seals being opened. And when he gets to the opening of the sixth seal, I should mention that there is cosmic disturbances, meaning that the weather didn't play like the weather played in past times. It started getting real hot. In fact, we experienced it 2 years ago. I'm in my backyard and there's 7 inches of snow in South Texas. In my backyard. Cosmic disturbances where the earth began to do things and the seasons and the weather was just warped and changed. And so, real quickly in closing here, we see that in chapter 7, verse 9, there is a great multitude that appears in the throne room of God after all these travails have unfolded. And this multitude has something to say. This multitude has a declaration to make to the Lord thy God right there in the throne room. And you say, what is the declaration that is made by that multitude? Well, we see it in verse 10. And that declaration is, he reads this way, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This multitude, like you and I that have lived through all of these tragedies on earth, appear in the throne room of God, and they are crying out in a voice of exaltation, salvation belongs to the Lord, our God, who sits on the throne. Why is that significant? Because after all these things that we experience in this life, church family, the only thing that really matters is your salvation. Milk can be $10 high, but the only thing that really matters is my salvation. Death and dismay may come, but the only thing that really matters is our salvation. Whatever the disaster that we experience, the only thing that matters is your and our salvation. And so this group cries out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In fact, this declaration that is being made, the angels couldn't understand it. And so there ensues a sidebar conversation between John and one of the elders. And so this sidebar conversation occurs in verse 13. And so again, that sidebar conversation, you say, what is it? It says, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? Sidebar conversation. All this praise and worship is occurring in the throne room of God. And there's a sidebar conversation. You've been there when you're focused on the basketball game because all the events are occurring on the court. But there is a sidebar conversation. You've been there when you're watching your favorite movie and you got your popcorn on your lap and your eyes are focused, your mind is focused on what's occurring on the screen, but there's a sidebar conversation on the side. And so similarly, there is a sidebar conversation about who are the multitude that I see in this vision in the throne room before God. And so the answer to that question came this way in 14. And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And so he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones that suffered during this life experience. These are the ones that either were part of the mass killing or heard of the mass destruction on earth. These are the ones that were made to be weary, that were worried, that were worn, that were weathered. These are the ones. And it was because of their salvation that they appear before the throne. The throne of God, worshiping him and praising him, not because of the temporal things on the earth, but because of the thing that resides in us through eternity. And that is our salvation. And so, church family, I got to pause here and ask you, where are you on the issue of salvation? Because salvation is the only thing that really matters. Tragedies will be commonplace, but salvation really is the only thing that matters. And so there's these declarations in Scripture, the declarations of praise and acknowledgement because of the salvation that God affords those who believe in him. And so there in the throne room of God, these declarations are being made. And there are these sidebar conversations, these questions. And something else happens that I need to bring your attention to. And that is the fact that God recognizes our life's challenges. God recognizes the fact that we are going through. The events in Uvalde are not ignored by God. The events in New York are not ignored by God. The events in your household are not ignored by God. The events in your life, the tragedies, the dismay, the things that get you weary, the things that get you worried, the things that get you warned, you and I, the things that test your faith are not being ignored by God. But he recognizes them and sympathizes with you and I. I got to close here. And so God recognizes our enduring life challenges. And the salvation that you have in God is not just good for eternity, but it's good for life here right now. We see here in Scripture, the third thing here is that something happens after all these things. And that thing that happens, we see here in verses 15 through 17. The writer writes, "Therefore, they are before the throne room of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them." And look at this. Look at what 16 says. They being the multitude, they being those who are thanking God for salvation, they shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. And the sun shall not strike them, nor heat I shall add anymore. For the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So this is the same God who has recognized that the very tears on the eyes of these saints in the throne room of God, he recognized that they have endured some life challenges. He recognized that they have gone through some tragedies. He recognizes that they have had been worried and weary and weeping and worn and weather. But he says that he will wipe every single tear from their eyes. So after the tragedies and sorrow, we will appear before the throne of God. And in the midst of him, we will be there to do two things: to thank him and to worship him. Yes, yes, I like that order. After these things that are tragedies, we will be before the throne of God. And in his midst, we will worship him and thank him for salvation. Because salvation produces the fruit of thanksgiving and worship. It's your salvation and where you and I stand right now that cultivates in us thanksgiving and worship to God. And so my question, church family, when John sees this multitude, these people of different cultures, these people of different backgrounds, these people of different languages, my question to you, those in person and those online, does John see you? Does John see you in that multitude? Does John see you as one who's said in your heart and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? We had testimonies this morning today of two souls that says, yes, I acknowledge my sins. Yes, I'm in need of a Savior. Yes, Jesus Christ is the only way. So whatever trials may come in their lives or mine, trials won't be the end of the believer, because after these things, you and I will be in the throne room of God, thanking him, praising him for the Lamb, Jesus who died on the cross, Jesus who bloodshed and died, Jesus who was raised again, Jesus who sits on the right hand of God, Jesus who will wipe, he will wipe, my God will wipe every tear from man's eye. He will wipe, he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. Jesus will wipe every tear.
Thank you so much for your attendance and your support of the podcast. We do hope to see you again or hear you again or even talk to me again. And we love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you.